Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
With the third pick, the Blackhawks are proud to select from the Saskatoon Blades, Kirby Dock.
Chicago!
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks NHL Draft Special. Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
All systems are go.
Now, live from Vancouver, here's our Blackhawks draft crew.
Let's begin now.
Harry Tynewitz and Scott King, along with Chris Bowden.
This is your Chicago Blackhawks draft special on 720 WGN, your home for Blackhawks hockey, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Scott King, who you hear on the Blackhawks podcast, Blackhawks Crazy with Chris Bowden. Scott and I are in studio. Scott, welcome to you.
Hi, Harry. How you doing?
Good. And if you're a Hawks fan, you know every Hawks broadcast on WGN begins and ends with the man, Chris Bowden, at Bowden Tweets, having a wonderful weekend in British Columbia. Chris, it is very exciting to read all your tweets. I'm very much looking forward to the 90 minutes that lays ahead, and you've got a special guest with you, don't you, buddy?
Yeah, even more exciting is the fact that we have the number 3 overall pick in the Blackhawks' first selection joining us here to kick off the show in Kirby Dock. First, let me ask, what have the last 24 hours or less than that have been like for you?
It's been surreal for sure. I mean, you hear your name get called and then you kind of black out and you don't really know what's going on, and it's been a whirlwind. I mean, from all the media I've had and the attention and all that stuff, it's been a lot of fun to hang out with family and friends and enjoy the experience.
Well, let's go through some of the things we discussed yesterday in terms of Blackhawks fans. What do they get in Kirby Dock?
A strong 200-foot centerman who is an elite playmaking forward who kind of plays a power game below the dots and is strong on his skates and makes plays for his teammates.
I love how you guys aren't afraid to have the good adjectives for your game. That's really. But what do you think perhaps separates you? There are a bunch of top end centers here at the top of the draft. You were in that mix with Cousins and Turcotte. What do you think may separate you from some of those other guys?
I think my 200-foot game, just how complete of a game I can play at both ends of the ice, and my hockey IQ and vision. I mean, it's something I've kind of always had when I was little. I was able to develop to play a little bit quicker and see what was going to happen. So to kind of have that grow with me, it's been awesome for my development and experience in the Western League.
Now, when we talked to Stan Bowman yesterday, he said one of the things that really impressed him was you were challenged during the last playoff in the WHL. Teams were coming after you, and he loved the way that you responded to that. Did you sense that as well?
Yeah, I knew that going into that Prince Albert series that they were going to play me tough and a hard and honest game, so I had to give it my best every night and try and find a new gear to kind of push my team to get to the next round, and I did everything I possibly could and more to get there, and we obviously came up short because they ended up being the champions in the league, and I mean, that could have been us if we were able to get past them. So, I mean, it's left a bitter taste in my mouth to lose to those guys, but made me a better player.
Now, how surprised were you when your name came up there at number 3?
Yeah, I was obviously kind of shocked and disbelief. I mean, you kind of dream of these moments your entire life, and for it to finally come true, it was awesome.
Now, as we look forward here, obviously your goal is to make the NHL right out of the box here. If you're going to do that, what's going to have to happen over the course of the next couple of months when you approach training camp?
I think you just got to add some size. I mean, you're going from playing against boys to men, so I got a lot of work to do in the gym and just to get a little bit bigger and stronger, and that way I'm not being able to be pushed around in the corners and battles and the pace of play. But I touched on earlier where I don't know what that's going to be like until I get there and experience things.
One more real quick before we let you go, because Mark Kelly, the man who selected you, is standing by here. You're not a big social media guy from what I understand. You just came aboard here.
Yeah.
So how much has that helped you staying away from all that noise?
Yeah, it kind of keeps your mind away from all the distractions and it just kind of helps you have a clear mind and clear head going into things, and you're not really worrying about what people are saying about you or their opinions at all.
All right, well, Maybe it's best to say, yeah, stay up. Not that people are dogging you or anything like that, but sometimes the noise gets a little carried away, even when teams are winning Stanley Cups. Yeah. So, Kirby, thanks a lot. Welcome to Chicago.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And we'll see you in town on Monday. All right, Kirby Doc joining us here. And stand by both Harry and Scott, because we have Mark Kelly, the Vice President of Scouting, coming up to join us here at Vancouver. His work is actually the seventh round isn't even done, but his work is done as they just completed making their final selection at 194, a player by the name of Cole Moberg. But Mark, a couple of words with Kirby as you guys pass there. Welcome to the Draft Recap Show here on WGN Radio. Pleased to be joined by Mark. And first of all, that gentleman you were just talking to, what ended up separating him from others when he came down to the decision?
I think the separation comes from just getting to know Kirby, knowing him as a player, as a person, and then just the way we project him. The skill, the hockey IQ, the compete. The upside is tremendous.
Yeah, we grab that, have that microphone come a little closer to you. So, how late did this decision occur? Are we talking about after the combine? Are we talking earlier this week? Are we talking as early as Friday morning or as recent as Friday morning?
No, I think that when we left Buffalo, we left the combine. Stan and I think individually, I think we started to get a feel for the players. And I think that's where Kirby kind of started to separate himself and stand out for us.
When you observed how size was such a factor in the Stanley Cup playoffs, this most recent Stanley Cup run, does that recency bias have a factor in terms of who you decide to select?
No, I think ideally you want every player to be really fast, really smart, and really big. But the reality is the players come in all different sizes. This year we happen to pick up quite a bit of size. It won't hurt us.
Yeah, speaking of which, second round pick, 6'6", Alex Vlasic from up in the neighborhood in Wilmette. How did he catch your eye?
Well, he played on that U.S. team. I think almost the whole team was drafted yesterday and today. He is he's a defensive defenseman. He's a partner. But he's very efficient, clean, moving the puck. But his size out there, I think it gives him a presence and it gets his teammates some space.
Tell us about some of the traits of some of the other players you selected after Alex here today.
We picked up Michael Tepley from the Czech Republic. Michael is he's the smallest one. He's 6'3 and a half. Big, skilled, plays the off-wing, hard-shooting right shot.
And, by the way, do you see every player whose name is called at some point?
Every player on the board today, I don't think I saw everyone. No.
Someone did on the staff, though, right?
Yeah. But the players that we drafted.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, I saw all those players.
No, I'm talking about all these. We're going to the pick 205, 206 here.
Yeah.
But I imagine you have the lion's share checking these guys
I knew
out.
It was actually interesting because when we made our last pick, I think we had maybe about six more names on our board.
Yeah.
So we used it pretty well.
And 2020 scouting has already begun. I mean, you see some guys from next year's class already as you scout the 2019 class, too.
Well,
right?
It's interesting you say that because I was sitting there with Kirby for a while today, and we were talking. He is going with the Canadian national team into Plymouth, Michigan. There's a pre-World Junior tournament, summer tournament every year, and I asked him about the Swedish team, and he was very quick to identify the two young players that are up for the draft next year.
That's amazing. I know you can't hear them, but back at the station, Harry Tynowitz and Scott King, perhaps one of them has a question that I can pass along to you. One of you guys have a question?
Yeah, I'm wondering, was it lost on Mark? Did he notice that as Kirby Doc is sitting up there talking about idolizing Jonathan Toews, he is wearing a Blackhawks 19 sweater?
Well, yeah, I don't think he was wearing a Blackhawks 19 sweater yesterday, but I think that's a little off limits. But how many traits from the Blackhawks captain does Kirby bring? I know we heard a lot of Turcotte comparisons, but what does Kirby bring to the table?
Well, it's very interesting because every year when we go up to the combine and we talk to players, we try to find out, who they pattern their game after. This year, the pool of players, there was a heavy dosage of Johnny Toews. For Kirby, you know, growing up in Western Canada at the age he is, I think it was just a natural for him to watch Jonathan Toews and kind of, I would say he models himself more in the kind of the compete and the way he goes about doing his work than as a player.
200-foot game as well. And real quick here, as I let you go, what were some of your impressions with the U.S. National Development Team? I mean, it has really placed a huge, this particular year has placed a huge exclamation point on American hockey, and we saw it here over the course of the first couple of rounds.
Yeah, it's really remarkable because we were talking last night, we went back, and there were 8 kids from the program taken, and then we kind of looked at our board, and according to our board, we thought 10 kids were going to go in the first round. It when you look at one team, one program to, you know, produce those kind of players, it is amazing.
All right. It
just shows what a great job they're doing.
Including your second rounder, Alex Vlasic. Mark, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it. Take a deep breath. The weekend's over. Hope you get a chance to enjoy yourself a little bit. But I know the work begins fairly quickly for what you're doing a year from here.
Great. Thank you, Chris.
All right. Mark Kelly joining us here at the table in Vancouver. And, Guy, sorry to steal kind of the spotlight, but the interviews came fast and furious here. So interesting stuff from both the number 3 overall pick and the vice president of scouting here with the Blackhawks.
I know, Chris. A lot's happening kind of as we're doing the show here. They're making a pick or they're making picks while we're prepping. I guess just what's your take overall? I mean, anyone who listens to our podcast knows that, like everyone else, you and I had Turcotte or Byram for the number 3 pick.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess your take on what a lot of people consider a Stan Bowman curveball there.
My take is it shows how much we know, right? but I think a lot of people were thinking the same thing in terms of whether it was going to be Bowen Byram or Turcotte. And, you know, the thing about Stan, though, is he is stealth, and he does not tip his hand in any way. I don't think that should surprise anyone, whether we're talking about draft picks, whether we're talking about trades, free agents. This just kind of continues the trend where it's kind of shrouded in mystery until you get that final announcement that comes your way, whether it's by a form of a press release over a trade or him making that announcement like he did here about 7:30 last night.
Hey, Chris, I know Mark said he liked Kirby at the combine. That's when they knew. What do you think the odds are that back when they had the 12th best odds before they moved up to number 3, that they were hoping if they just moved up a few spots, he might still be there, and then they were just that impressed at the combine?
Yeah, and I think one of those I think it was kind of a crapshoot for most of it. Perhaps, you know, Mark said at the combine he was looking at about 6 guys at that point, and you know, I think once that whole process was completed, that's when I think they had a much better idea that, you know, it was going to be Kirby, like he said. And, you know, we won't know for another 5 years how this thing is going to shake down. I know whether it's a prediction or whether people have their preferences, you know, we don't see these guys nearly as much as a Mark Kelly and a Stan Bowman and the entire scouting staff. So, this is the guy that they are fully invested in. They have a great belief in that he is going to become a great hockey player. That was their main priority going into this draft at number 3. Find the best potential hockey player you can receive, no matter the position, and that's the guy that they have invested in.
Hey, Chris, if you had to, pick a month, or if you don't think it's going to happen this year, what would you say the odds are that we see Kirby Dach up here in a Blackhawks uniform this season?
Well, it's already a case where this kid's already got some size. He's 6'4", a little bit under 200 pounds, and if there's one thing that I think has been lacking compared to some other prospects, it may be foot speed, but he more than makes up for it. He's more deceptive than explosive, but he reads himself well. He positions himself well. Another thing that Stan mentioned the other day was how great he's able to protect the puck with the long arms and the long reach that he has. So high-end hands, high-end playmaker, and I think it's just a matter of whether, you know, he can get himself. Paul Goodman, the strength and conditioning coach, is going to have a big say in that. And then it's up to how he stands up to the competition. I wouldn't totally rule it out whether it happens this year or not. I think it also there's also a factor in what we see the Blackhawks do over the course of the next couple of weeks in trades and free agency, too.
All right, well, night start with Mark Kelly and Kirby Doc. Chris Bowden is in Vancouver, British Columbia. Scott King from Scott King Media and I are here at the studios in WGN. We're still going to hear from Stan Bowman and Mark Vlasic, the Wilmette native who the Hawks took with the second pick. He is a big defenseman that knows how to use his stick to break up plays. Hey, tomorrow to Sunday matinee, the Southsiders trade swings with the Rangers in the series finale from Texas. You can catch it 1:30 on WGN-TV. This is your Blackhawks draft special on 720 WGN, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Left wing side, Doc forced the steal. Right wing side scores! What a play by Kirby Doc. Picked the pocket of the defender along the wall, and I don't know what kind of angle he had. Not much of one. He rips it home anyway.
This is your Chicago Blackhawks draft special on 720 WGN, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chris Bowden at Bowden Tweets. He's in Vancouver. He's at the home of the Canucks, where the Sedin brothers opened the draft last night, and the Blackhawks made big news as they took Kirby Doc, a center who is a playmaker first, and he described himself as an elite playmaker. Scott King from the Blackhawks podcast with Chris Bowden, Blackhawk Crazy. He's in the studio with me, Harry, at WGN. And Chris, I have no problem with Kirby Doc describing his playmaking as elite. I don't see that as arrogant. I see that as confident.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because when you hear these guys, we ask them about their strengths, all of a sudden you almost hear a scouting report being rambled off by them. But I kind of enjoy that. For as humble as most of these kids are, especially those from Canada, like Kirby is, they probably have a good sense and have agreement in how other people see them play, especially those that have a very trained eye for this game. So, yeah, I think it's real, real interesting. And another thing that he has gone ahead and done, and I asked him about this yesterday, he's involved in a first skates program for kids in his area where he was growing up and playing in. We all know how expensive hockey equipment is, and in order through part of Gordie Howe's foundation, having some involvement in donating skates to youth in their respective areas to get more people turned on to hockey. So over the course of the past year, he's become very involved in that, and I would imagine he might do the same thing in the Chicago community as he arrives.
And we also had big news today that as we get Mark Vlasic, a Wilmette native, we say goodbye to another North Shore native, Scott King. John Hayden is now a New Jersey Devil, and we have another Quenneville back in the fold.
We do. We do have a Quenneville back. People kind of figured that Hayden might go in a trade because for other teams, once he gets a change of scenery, he could be a very useful bottom six guy. Another thing Chris and I have talked about on the podcast, Hayden, tough as nails. He got in a fight, I think it was last year, broke a guy's jaw. A decent bottom six guy, just wasn't working in the Hawks system, could do good with a change of scenery.
Chris, were you surprised by the trade at all?
Not necessarily. I think we all saw a great amount of upside with John when he first arrived here. But it's kind of a catch-22 sometimes when you're given the opportunity, you have to earn more than 8 or 9 minutes of ice time when you are given that opportunity. We saw flashes of that at times with John Hayden, but just not consistently enough. I think there also may be, some contract stipulations involved in there, too, whereas John Quenneville is an RFA, and they could sign him to a deal where he can go back and forth from Rockford as well. Hayden was eligible to do that, but he still has a year remaining on his contract. So I think that was part of the equation as well. But John Hayden, great guy. You loved what he would be able to bring to the table when his game was on. It's just that there just doesn't seem to be enough consistency in it to this point.
Of course he's a great guy. He's a new trigger guy. I mean, come on. How easy is that to figure?
And a
Yaley,
too.
Yeah, and a Yaley. All right, Bowden is in B.C. Scott King and I are here. We are about the first period's over of our Chicago Blackhawks draft special on 720 WGN, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
This is our 2019 National Hockey League Draft Special on the home of the Blackhawks, 720 WGN. Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Chris Bowden is in Vancouver. Of course, you can hear Chris pre- and post-game every Chicago Blackhawks game when John Weideman and Troy Murray, the old Clydesdale, bring you Blackhawks hockey. Scott, this is a treat for me. Scott King is in studio with me here. I'm Harry, and I appreciate all the lovely texts coming in. This is WGN Radio, your home for Blackhawk hockey. And a couple of things. First of all, I want to remind you guys, or let you know, I should say, that Kirby Dach is coming to Chicago on Monday. He and Bowden will be flying out first class next to each other. And they are on John and Jay's private jet. And on the Steve Cochran show, Kirby will be in studio, 7:40. You can hear Kirby Dach with Steve and the gang. That's this Monday morning, 7:40. Kirby Dach in studio with Steve Cochran. And I'm sure Steve will be giving Kirby several tips on how to how to create action. And then he'll join Rokan at 4:38, right after the 4:30 news, later Monday afternoon. And the Blackhawks have announced their home opener. Season starts October 10th against the Sharks. No way, Jose. The Blackhawks will be 1-0. They love playing big games for the home opener. And, guys, it's going to be different for Jeremy Colliton and the staff because they will be in charge from day one of training camp. So Chris, I think it's going to be, I think they finished very strong last year.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a huge factor, and getting everybody on the same page, trying to change the system on the fly, not to provide any excuses here, but when a system is so ingrained in so many of these players' minds, and granted, it's not as much as it had been even as recently as 2 and 3 years ago, because there has been turnover on this roster. But I think having the opportunity to get the system in place, having a couple of weeks and a handful of exhibition games in order to get that under their belt, I think is going to be a huge factor. When we asked Jeremy yesterday during his press conference about whether he could gain anything from what he saw in the Stanley Cup playoffs this year, he goes, "Well, I don't want to start out like the champion did this year, because that's a pretty tough task in order to overcome that." But we all know what it was like for Jeremy in his first 5 or 6 weeks on the job here. It was a whirlwind with very little opportunity to practice. And now that he will have whatever roster it ends up being in place that he and Stan decide to choose heading into Prague, if you will, against the Philadelphia Flyers, I think having the opportunity to have everyone on the same page in that system with your roster from opening night is going to do wonders for the team.
And Scott, I think not only did he win over the players, but he won over the fan base, which was a fan base that were very immersed in Joel Quenneville and the three Stanley Cups he brought us. But I think there's not a Blackhawk fan around that doesn't believe in Jeremy Colliton.
They saw what he did last year. I mean, the Hawks came within a few games of making the playoffs. I mean, yeah, that's going to be difficult to do, but he really did turn things around. And now, we're going to hear from his press conference, but he's got a young coach that was under him in Tomas Mitzell in Sweden, and Mark Crawford coming over, who should work wonders with the PK, which is what the Hawks need. It's going to be a whole new system and somewhat of a new coaching staff joining Colliton as well.
You always got to have, like, one former head coach on your staff.
Just the veteran cachet, the respect they command, right?
Right. And I think there's something off if you don't have that. And it's pretty interesting. The other big thing that I'm keeping an eye out for is Ali Mata. And, I don't know if, I would imagine that, Joki Haru would be with, Gustafsson would be with, Duncan Keith. So maybe Joki Haru and Ali Mata give you your all Finnish blue liners. There's reason, Chris, to be excited for this season for Hawks fans, despite the fact it's been, 3 years since we tasted playoffs.
Yeah, and who knows how this is all going to play out over the course of the last couple weeks. It doesn't appear as though we'll have a chance to talk to Stan ourselves, but hopefully later on in the show we'll bring you his availability from a short time ago. Stan's running around with some obligations here, but I think there's still some time here to play out over the next couple weeks. This coming week is when NHL GMs have an opportunity to meet with agents for upcoming free agents. And how this all plays out, yeah, I mean, you look at things right now with NHL experience on the blue line, they still have to make a couple of decisions defensively on Gustav Forsling, for one. There's a couple other RFAs. But he's loving the competition. He is not worried about, you know, there being too many guys fighting for opening night spots. He's going to worry about that later. But depending on what he does here in free agency, if another veteran or two is brought in, you would have to think some supplemental moves would have to be made, perhaps subtracting some of those guys currently on the roster. So I think for Ole Mata, he had a rough year last year. He even admitted that during his conference call with the Chicago media a few days ago. Nevertheless, what Jeremy said is this is a guy who has won two Stanley Cups, was a top four defenseman on two Stanley Cup teams, also won a couple of junior championships, I believe, as well. And he loves the way Mata is able to give this Blackhawks team something that they were lacking last year, and that being shot blocking, penalty killing. And when we look ahead to free agency, and Scott and I have talked about this a couple times on the podcast, don't necessarily look for the big splash. The Blackhawks have been waiting for a decade to get out of salary cap quote-unquote hell. And going out and signing a Duchesne or a Panarin, yes, that's on everybody's wish list. But I think mostly what we're going to see are supplemental moves, depth moves, and guys who can really help in areas where the Blackhawks were lacking last year. Hate to disappoint any Blackhawks fans who are thinking about, you know, the next Marian Hossa big splash signing. But I think take a realistic approach, I think that's what we're going to see more of here.
I agree, Chris. I think one of those signings could be a you know, either a new or a veteran winger that you could put on that left wing in the second line with Stroman Kane or Stroman DeBrincat, whoever's there. We've talked about Ryan Dezingle, maybe a Thomas Vanek. I guess how likely do you think that is, and could a guy like that signing in free agency be effective with those kind of minutes next to a Stroman Kane or Stroman DeBrincat?
Yeah, I think they could. I mean, Vanek's an older guy who is there's not a whole lot of diversity to his game. He scores goals. He's been a goal scorer for years and years. But realistically, if you're looking for the type of role players that they could potentially be looking at, you mentioned Dezingle, who's coming off a $1.8 million contract. You don't figure he's going to get anything upwards of, you know, perhaps $4.5 to $5 million, but then again, Columbus is going to have a lot of money to spend. There's other guys out there like Michael Ferland. Valtteri Filppula is an older guy, but he can help on the penalty kill and face-offs on the fourth line. I know the Bruins are trying to re-sign Marcus Johansson. Here's a player with some skills, some speed, can kill penalties. So when I'm thinking of the way the Blackhawks are approaching this, I'm thinking more of the depth signings. There's, you know, even a couple of other guys out there. Who knows what's going to happen with Joe Pavelski? I don't see him leaving San Jose, but there's a couple of other guys out there. Well, I don't know what Gustav Nyquist's price tag is going to be, but it was established today that the salary cap is going to be between $81.5 and $82 million. That's about $1 million less than a lot of them expected, but the Blackhawks are still in a pretty comfortable position, and now it's just a matter of fighting off some of these teams that are willing to overpay some players they may have their sights on.
In terms of the Hawks' restricted free agents, who they're going to sign and bring back, I was somewhat surprised to see the news, I think it was right after our show started, the draft special, that Stan Bowman said they are going to bring back Brendan Perlini. And, you know, he's a guy who was up and down last year. He could be tough. He could score. I mean, he had some hot streaks. We saw some hat tricks there, usually inspired by the movie Free Solo, as he liked to tell the media. But I guess, Chris, what's the benefit in bringing a guy like that back? And is Stan Bowman kind of betting the house, although it, you know, it might not be much money, that he will find more consistency?
Yeah, it all depends on the price tag. But, you know, Scott and Harry, we saw the upside of what Perlini can do, and now it's a matter of putting it all together. Quite frankly, his time in Arizona, he was the more consistent player than Dylan Strome was during their first couple of years in the league. And Perlini, you see that speed. You see that size. Now it's a matter of putting it all together. And who knows, maybe some of these other voices on the coaching staff, along with Jeremy. Jeremy was very frank when discussing Perlini last year in terms of what he needed to do, both to Brendan's face and when he was asked about it in the media. So now it's a matter of putting all that effort, playing the right way, and putting all those tools, so-called tools in his toolbox together to become the player he really has the capability of being.
And then there's the X factor, Anton Whedon, who has arrived on the scene, who's a winger, 3 years of experience with the Swedes. Who knows what he could be?
Yeah, I mean, Vedin is a guy who, you know, they're losing Dominic Cahoon. And I was a fan of Dominic Cahoon for a rookie and what he brought to the table here. He was one of those players who will play both ends of the ice, who was committed to the defensive style that some Blackhawks, quite frankly, weren't committed enough to last year in some of these defensive struggles. But Vedin is a guy who seems to be more in the mold of what Dominic Cahoon brought. And I think the other overseas free agent that they're bringing in Dominic Kubalik, his offensive upside, his size, much greater than what we saw with Cahoon and probably will with Vedin. I think there's a lot more upside to his offensive game. We saw that during the World Championships, and he certainly took a step forward. How much he can adapt to the North American game is going to be real interesting. I think a lot of people in the Blackhawks organization are really happy to get Kubalik, who the LA Kings gave up on, a former draft pick of that team, and now the door is open for him to come in and make a middle six, bottom six impact for the Blackhawks. And once again, there you're talking about some of these names we've discussed. The Brendan Perlinis, how is he going to fit into this lineup if he's going to make the team? Same for Dylan Sakura, Kubalik and Vedin when they come over. So that competition and how this old depth chart plays out is going to be fun to watch.
Vedin, thank you. Bowden's in the know.
He read all the pronunciation keys, and he's correct.
Even part of the gig. Even then, I get them wrong, even after I read them.
Well, I have Chicagoland Chevrolet pronounced correctly, which is really my main focus today. It's very exciting time to be a Blackhawks fan. The Hawks made some major acquisitions in the last 24 hours, and we could see Kirby Dach up here this season. So Chris is in Vancouver, and Scott King and I are here at WGN Studios. We're still going to visit with Stan Bowman. We're still going to have the first pick of today, the second pick overall. Alex Vlasic is on with us. This is your Chicago Blackhawks Draft Special on 720 WGN, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Back to the Draft Special on the home of the Blackhawks, 720 WGN, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Chris Bowden is in Vancouver, British Columbia. Scott King, who you can follow at Scott King Media, is here in studio with me. I'm Harry Tenowitz at WGN, and this is awesome. We are going to go shore to ship because Troy Murray is, right now he's on the high seas on the SS Clydesdale. You can hear Troy with John Weideman for every Hawks broadcast. Troy, thank you for taking time out from Shuffleboard to join us for the Blackhawks Draft Special.
My pleasure. It's a beautiful day and nice to be out on the lake for a change.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, Chris is dominating the industry in Vancouver today. What do you think of Kirby Dach, the big center who the Blackhawks made their first pick, the third guy taken overall?
You know what, I like what they've done. The focus in the past couple drafts has been smaller players, skilled players with a lot of speed. And I think that they, you know, had a focus at the beginning of this draft to get some size into the organization. Kirby Dach, 6'4", 200, 6'6", is Vlasic. Next pick, 6'3". So you've added some size to the prospects pool. And I think Kirby Dach is a great pick. He's, if any indication is that he's going to be anywhere near close, a guy like Ryan Getzlaf, who's his comparable type player, or Mark Scheifele, the Blackhawks have the real deal here for a long time, and I think it's a great pick.
Troy, I thought it was interesting that Stan Bowman's talking about, you know, all of Kirby's assets and why they want him, why they picked him. Something you don't hear a lot that he wanted to touch base on was maturity. I think when teams meet with guys like this that they might draft, how big of a factor is that, the way they present themselves, their family life, the way they are in these interviews?
I think it's very important, because when you are drafting these players, and there's a lot of uncertainty in drafting players who are 17, 18 years of age, if they just turned 18, and you want to see that maturity level of where they are mentally. And if you look at and go back to Jonathan Toews in 06, there was a different maturity level between him and a lot of other players when they were talking about drafting Toews. And I think you have the same kind of mentality with Kirby Dach. You know, he's a mature guy. he's all business in the way that he approaches things, and I think that's important to have that mentality of a guy that has the leadership qualities of a Jonathan Toews, and you can see that early. And I always talk about players that get it. Kirby Dach is one of these players that gets it. He's a mature player for 18 years of age, and obviously he's a mature player for the size that the Blackhawks are getting him at 6'4", 200, just under 200 pounds. I mean, that's pretty good for an 18-year-old player. He's projected to be playing at maybe 210, 215 at 6'4", and he's got good speed, good hands. So you've got something special there with the type of character in Kirby Dach.
Ali Mata is one of the recent transactions here, bringing him over from Pittsburgh. He could look awfully good, I think, on that second pairing next to Connor Murphy, but he did miss some time last year, only playing 60 games because of a shoulder injury. Do you think he'll be able to rehab that over the summer? Do you expect to see him be an effective player for the Hawks next season?
I think he is, and the one thing that the Blackhawks were looking for on the back end was some stability on the defensive end of the game, and Mata certainly brings that. He brings NHL minutes to the table, and that's important. Whether you're in your top pairing or your third pairing, he's an NHL player, and you know they were looking to see what they had in their prospect pool with Dahlstrom, with Forsling. But there's no doubt that Mata is an upgrade. He's an NHL player, and hopefully the injuries that he had last year that were a little bit of the factor of maybe his off season compared to some of the prior years. But when a guy's won two Stanley Cups, he's still in his mid-20s. There's a lot of upside to him, and he's going to bring some NHL minutes to the blue line and certainly help the penalty kill.
You're talking about size in these draft picks earlier, something the Hawks have been kind of doing a theme here with this draft. Their second-to-last pick in round six at 167, they get Dominic, I think it's Baze, as I say his name, a goalie who's 6'6 from USA. There's just some excitement when you see a goalie as, you know, like Scott Darling size or Ben Bishop size. Do you think it's just easier for guys that big to, you know, obviously fill up the nets?
Yeah, it's a big bonus for a goaltender to be, you know, a big size player. If you look at, you know, Ben Bishop, you look at Pecorine, these guys are big goaltenders. And the way that the equipment is made, it's all according to the size of the goaltender, the height of the goaltender. So you've got bigger pads. If they go into the butterfly, you look at what's available down low, and there's nothing down low because the size of these pads, if they go down in the butterfly, I mean, and being 6'6 and being a tall guy, you take away the upper part of the net just by going down in the butterfly compared to a guy who's, you know, 6 feet. Corey Crawford is 6'2, which I think is a great height because it kind of encompasses a bunch of stuff with the athletic ability and not losing a little bit as far as a 6'6" guy who may be a little bit more gangly in the net until he, you know, gets that experience. But certainly size is a huge factor. There's no more Darren Pangs in the NHL, put it that way, in goaltending.
Damn.
It'd be fun if there was.
Yeah, they're right. I'd score more goals.
Chris has been so excited to talk to you. We bet whether or not you would actually put the pina colada down and join us on the show. But Chris, here he is.
Send out an SOS.
I'm hoping he can hear me from the shores of the Pacific to the shores of Lake Michigan.
I can, and actually, Chris, I don't want you to get jealous or anything, but we're heading down to Lake Shake by boat today, so that's a big plus for me here in Chicago.
Yeah, it is. You get pumped up for that. Hey, I know we're up against it here, but I wanted to talk about the Blackhawks drafted you in that great 1980 class in the third round. Nevertheless, you put in 2 years at North Dakota after that, and so many times we hear about these draft picks and how important it is, if they can't make the jump right away, to have their game grow, whether it's at the junior level or at the collegiate level. Where did you see the greatest steps in your game from the time that you were drafted in 80 to when you joined the Hawks a couple of years later?
I was not ready to play in the NHL when I was drafted. There's no doubt about that. In winning the NCAA in 1982 after 2 years at North Dakota, I had a great conversation with the head coach, Gino Gasparini. And, you know, Gasparini was a straight shooter as far as his opinion and what he thought. And he said, Troy, if I didn't think you were not ready to play in the NHL after 2 years, I would tell you so, and it'd be beneficial for you to stay for another year. He says, but I think you're ready to go. I was 19 when I came to Chicago, and I think those 2 years at North Dakota really gave me the opportunity to mature my game the way that it needed to. There was a lot of emphasis at North Dakota back in those days to play a 200-foot game, which is, you know, what everybody's talking
about. We lost him.
As an NHL player.
There he is. Troy, you're starting to break up, but we appreciate your time. So much more we want to talk to you about. Have fun in Prague. My God, you guys are going to have such a great start to the season. And then again,
Make shake first.
Yes, make shake first. And then we go to Prague, and then San Jose is here October 10th. Troy Murray, thanks a ton for joining us Ship to Shore today.
Thanks, Troy.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I always appreciate it.
Sure. Hey, with the ultimate family reunion, you want to win it. Just listen to the Rokan Show with Anna Vellantes weekday afternoons at 5:40 on 720 WGN Chicago. This is your Chicago Blackhawk Draft Special on 720 WGN, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Draft Special.
The future of hockey.
With the third pick, the Blackhawks are proud to select from the Saskatoon Blades, Kirby Dock.
The future of the Blackhawks. On the home of the Blackhawks, 720 WGN. Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Scott King from the Chris Bowden Scott King podcast, Blackhawks Crazy. You can find that all over. WGN Radio is in studio with me. I'm Harry, and Chris Bowden is in Vancouver, British Columbia. Chris, it's been described to me as the most beautiful city in the National Hockey League. Any truth to that rumor?
It is gorgeous. I hadn't been here since 2010, and especially when you get down in some of the harbors, you have boats that land, planes that land in the water. They have that type of transportation as well, and it really is a gorgeous city. The thing is, most of the taller buildings are made of glass, so you get that reflection off the buildings that almost make the city seem even bigger, but it is gorgeous. We did want to bring you some more reaction from the Blackhawks' second pick today. You heard coming out of that break with the third pick, the Blackhawks selected Kirby Dach last night. 40 picks later, in their 12th overall pick of the second round here, the Blackhawks were able to draft a local kid, Alex Vlasic. We're not able to get Alex on live, but I was able to catch up with him shortly after his name was announced by the Blackhawks, and here's what he had to say.
So how much of this did you see coming?
None. I think just kind of sitting there, hearing everybody else's name. I didn't know when it was going to come. You know, me and my sister, we tapped each other when the Hawks came up, and you know, hope for the best, and you know, turns out that they did draft me, so I was crazy.
Did you get any sense while meeting with them, with talking with them, what the level of interest was?
No, not too much. I think I met with them, you know, twice, just about like the same as like every other team. So, I mean, I liked them a lot. They were really good guys, so you know, it just worked out well.
So, being from home, what was the fandom like growing up, while also having a cousin with the San Jose Sharks? Did you show up at the United Center in those Sharks games with your cousin's jersey on?
Yeah, I actually did. I would go to the Sharks games or the Hawks games a lot when the Sharks were playing, and we'd have the Vlasic jerseys. And I can remember when they were playing in the playoffs, and they were about to get swept by the Hawks, and there was a bunch of brooms like in our faces when we were walking out because we had the Sharks jerseys on. But yeah,
how much have you been influenced by him, and how much do you stay in touch with him?
I don't stay in touch with him too much. You know, he's quite a bit older than me, like 12 plus years. So don't talk to him too much. But growing up, like having him like be there and like be so successful with hockey, I think it was something that I strive for, and just kind of pushed me along the way. And to know that like it was possible. And I think like I said, he was just a good role model for me, like someone to look up to.
Yeah. And you mentioned your sister. I know this is the sister at Yale who tapped you. She's a pretty big hockey deal too, right?
Yeah, she is. She's obsessed with the sport. Yeah.
She goes to Yale?
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she just graduated.
Captain over there. So what do you feel your strengths are of your game right now? What do you still need to work on over the next year or two over at BU in order to make this jump?
I think the defensive aspect of my game, I think having a good stick in the defensive zone, breaking up plays, moving pucks quickly. I think my offensive game is a little bit there. I think I can definitely develop that in the near future. But I think for the most part, being a bigger guy, I got to work on my foot speed a little bit, my quickness, because moving up to the next level is always going to be a lot more difficult.
There's a lot of big defensemen out there. Do you pattern yourself over a couple guys in the league right now?
Yeah. I mean, I think a good guy to look up to is Victor Hedman on the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think he's an incredible defender. He does everything so well at the size of, like, around me as well. So him and Colton Pareko on the Blues, they do the job really well.
Finally, being a part of this U.S. National Development Team and going up against them in practice and being able to play with them, how much of an influence and part of your growth was that a factor here over the last year or so?
Yeah, I've never experienced anything like it. Practice at the program, which was like a game, even harder sometimes, playing against, you know, the best of the best, Jack Hughes, you know, Turcotte, all those guys. And I definitely pushed everybody, I think, to do their best, and they were all so competitive, so I think it helped me a lot these past 2 years.
So his cousin, Mark Edward Vlasic of the Sharks, is a pretty good defenseman in this league. He's known as Mr. Pickles, of course. So the Blackhawks have their own Mr. Pickles now. We'll see how long it takes him to get up to the National Hockey League level. One other note is that he was at Glenbrook North for a while, which is where his mother teaches French. So he was asked whether he knows any French, and he said, well, no, my mom didn't want me to take French classes. She didn't want me in her class. So obviously he did much of his schooling either online or with the U.S. National Development Program based in Michigan at a school over there. That's where most of those players end up going in a local school there. But I'm not sure if I would want to be in my parents' class either if they were teaching me something, especially in high school. I'd probably stay away from that, too.
My dad taught me how to read the racing form when I was 5.
And he did a good job of it, didn't he?
Yes, he did. So, Chris, you also chatted with Stan Bowman. What do you take away from what Stan told you about this draft? Any coincidence that all these players are like 7'12"?
I think it is just a coincidence, but hey, the bigger the merrier, I suppose. I think the team's really happy with what they were able to accomplish, especially up front with Doc and Vlasic. Also picked a couple of overseas forwards in the fourth round, and then that big goalie who's headed to Colorado College, 6'6" Dominic Bossy, before they ended up with a seventh-round pick by the name of Cole Moorburg. But I think overall, really happy. The belief is definitely there in this number 3 overall pick. They had the first pick of the rest of the draft. They had their lot to choose from, and it says a lot that the fact that they had so many quality players to choose from, this was the guy they selected, and you can imagine they have big things and big hopes for Kirby Doc.
All right, and Scott King, great job by you. People can find you, of course, at Scott King Media. You're the Blackhawks correspondent for NHL.com, and I assume that when he returns from British Columbia, you and Bowden will be doing a new podcast.
We're gonna have a lot to talk about. There's a lot
we'll
didn't cover.
Do something. Yeah, we have free agency coming up a week from Monday, so either later that afternoon or perhaps Tuesday, we'll have something out there for you. Before I go from here and we sign off, I want to thank Mary Sandberg Boyle for all her help out here, especially as we were trying to communicate who was and who wasn't coming here during the course of the show. But sorry we weren't able to get Stan on, but he's been speaking a lot lately, and overall I think everyone's happy with what they came out with here this weekend.
We echo your sentiments, thanking Mary, and just a lot of fun to talk Blackhawks. I know it seems like it's a while away, but before you know it, they'll be in Prague, and then again, October 10th, the Blackhawks will entertain the San Jose Sharks. And I bet you that Alex Vlasic's family will be getting back on with the Blackhawk jerseys. Remember, Kirby Doc is in studio with Cochran Show on Monday morning at 7:40. And then he's going to be on with Roe at 4:38. Chris, thank you so much for legitimizing us.
Fabulous job, Chris.
We try. I don't know if legitimizing is, that goes a little bit too far, though.
And Curtis Koch for doing a great job executively producing the program today.
Wonderful job.
Thank you, Curtis. And let me know how much fun you have tonight going out with Mick and Keith and Charlie. That sounds so cool that you get to do that. Hawks fans, it's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen. They're coming back. Don't you fret. Don't you worry. We appreciate you listening to the Blackhawks Draft Special, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Go Hawks!